Hello, and welcome to Open Source Sex. My name is Violet Blue. I'm an author, a blogger, a podcaster, a sex educator, a troublemaker, and many, many other things. I'm a sex and tech pundit in mainstream media, and I'm talking to you right now. You can find out more about me and all that I do at my website, tinynibbles.com, which can also be found if you type in violetblue.org. If you are listening to Open Source Sex and you're unfamiliar with this podcast, which, by the way, has been around since 2004, if you believe it, you might notice, if you're looking at it in iTunes, that they are not in sequential order. There are some numbers missing. That's because I don't put all of this podcast into iTunes. If you want to get to the juicier bits and have some more fun, go to opensourcesex.org and you'll find all the rest of my podcasts. And I think you'll have a lot of fun with those. Tonight's podcast is about three-ways and swinging and orgies and group sex and having sex with multiple partners and polyamory and non-monogamy. And it actually is, for the most part. I mean, I'm inspired to talk to you about all these things because I just watched a new porn film that came out called An Open Invitation. And I have to admit, you know, watching porn films is really kind of old school these days. Like, pretty much most people get their porn from tube sites or they go, you know, to video on demand sites and things like that. I don't know how many people are really actually buying porn DVDs anymore, but I do get the privilege of being sent some pretty awesome ones. Like, I get the cream of the cream, if you will. No, I know. You can't avoid the double entendres when you talk about sex, but still. I got sent a copy of An Open Invitation, and it's pretty awesome, but it's about swinging, and it's about basically one couple's journey into opening up their relationship and going to swingers parties, and I'll explain it a little bit more in a second, but what it does is it also opens up a conversation that I think needs to be had about this kind of thing before you just sort of go sailing into it head first. Now, way back in 2005, I actually did a podcast on threesomes, which is an explicit how-to lecture on threesomes, where you can learn how to make them happen, deal with jealousy, figure out what to do when you're all naked together, and where and how to find people to play with, and what to say to get everyone started, and also what to do when things don't turn out quite the way that you'd planned, and a little bit of erotica too. So if you want to track that one down, it's Open Source Sex number 20, and it's highly, highly recommended. It's one of the lectures that I give when I do sex ed. If you want some hot erotica to check out that is just about threesomes, and you might want to check out Open Source Sex number 43, which is where I read Cast of Three by author Emily Paris, which is pretty darn sexy. And also, if you go to the opensourcesex.org website, you'll see also the text for it. So if you don't feel like hearing it, you can actually read the story because it's open source sex, and I believe in giving these things away for free. So anyway, what got me going on this was watching An Open Invitation, which is called An Open Invitation, a Real Swingers Party in San Francisco. You can find out more about it at privatelifestyle.com, where you can see that the people who made the film and the communities who made the film are building global community around modern swinging and modern non-monogamy, and it's pretty kind of cool what they're doing, actually. The film itself was directed by a woman, which, as you know, or if you're familiar with me and my work, I'm very pro-porn, and I'm pro-porn for women especially. And I even have an entire website dedicated to this called ourpornourselves.org, and you might want to check that out because there's a whole lot of cool stuff on there that talks about all the issues around women in porn. Like, you know, does it really exploit women? How do women really feel about porn? Why women are watching porn more and more, and what it means to them. So, you know, finding porn, especially, you know, big budget porn like this, that's really well done, that's super authentic, directed by women, is something that I just kind of get the pom-poms out and have to be a cheerleader for. And what I like about it is that An Open Invitation is porn for lovers. It's porn that is about love and a love story. And it's also full of explicit sex. So it's porn for everyone else who wants to watch all these fantasies, like played out very, very explicitly. Now, I'd planned to review An Open Invitation the minute that I watched it because it's really that hot with super high production values, and it's a real porn flick for people with high expectations. But one, I had an obstacle before I put anything together, which I ended up doing a post about it, which you might want to check out on the website, tinynibbles.com. It's got a huge, exclusive, and very explicit gallery that the people who made the film sent me just for Tiny Nibbles readers and for open source sex listeners. And the reason they sent it to me was because the distributors and the big companies behind the film are just so have their heads up their asses about marketing, and that they just couldn't even get their shit together to like get anything out to help promote the film. And I'm so sick and tired of seeing really cool people make really awesome, sexy, super hot, wankable, and kind of informative and educational porn, and then watch it completely die in marketing and distribution. So no thanks to Private or GameLink. I have this really rad, great explicit gallery just for you if you want to go check it out. And if you do decide to buy Open Invitation, buy it from babeland.com because it's an awesome women-run store and you know that your money's going to good people. So I also had to really think about An Open Invitation after I watched it before I just started talking about it and telling you that it's really, really good, and it is actually my top pick for porn this year. But I just had something more to say after I watched it, more than just telling you that it's awesome and it's great porn for couples, especially if you've not watched porn together before. I think it's fantastic. Polyamory and non-monogamy is really, really popular right now. But if you're interested in trying it or retrying it, there's some things that you might want to think about. So, okay, the thing about Open Invitation is that it does, you know, it's a porn film that celebrates love with lots and lots of hot sex. And the people in it are real. I've been to their parties, and I've seen what goes on at their parties, and this film really is a lot like what happens at modern sex swinger parties. The two main couples in the film are porn performers, and they're from the new guard of porn, which means that there's no fake bodies, no creepy plastic surgery, and there's no fake orgasms. And in real life, they really actually do this. Like, this is really, like, how they are in real life. I've actually seen them at these parties with their real-life partners. So what this film does is it tells a hot tale of what it might be like to try out the fantasy of swinging located in San Francisco. And it takes place in real San Francisco swing clubs and San Francisco swinging locations. What's really interesting, too, about the website associated with the film is that it's dedicated to creating global community around modern non-monogamy, and Private Invitation is moving forward with events and another upcoming film. In fact, their next event is in Barcelona. So the writer wrote me and told me, and here's a quote, "Open was conceived as part of a series in which we'll travel around the world featuring local people and the real cultural drivers behind the local progressive sex scenes in our movies. The movies act, in part, as sharing information for the clubs and sites, and the people creating real-life spaces for couples to explore." And I think that's pretty cool. I'll also give you more information on the film by giving you Babeland's description, because they describe it really well. Babeland writes, "If you've ever been curious about swinging, group sex, sex parties, satisfy your voyeuristic cravings with An Open Invitation, a real swingers party in San Francisco. It follows a couple as they spice up their relationship by joining the San Francisco swinger scene, enjoying orgies, anal play, voyeurism, and the use of great sex toys. Best of all, the cast consists of 127 real-life swingers studded with 15 porn stars, so you're sure to see a great mix of bodies, sexualities, and personalities, include safer sex practices, as well as discussions and definitions of polyamory and swinging." So, yeah, all the locations and people are real. They include the people and the information for Club Kiss. Kink.com's founder, Peter Ackworth, makes a couple of cameos, and it stars people like Lorelei Lee and James Dean. And it's one couple's journey into non-monogamy. And it's a really sweet love story, even though it's really, really hardcore and has hardcore sex in it. It's great. It's a good intro to opening up a monogamous relationship or exploring the fantasy together. And if this fantasy sounds like something you want to try in your relationship, the film would be paired perfectly with a copy of the book written by Tristan Taramino called Opening Up. And that book, it is a great guidebook to explore non-monogamy for couples in a variety of guises and has all the terminology and the definitions and things, and it answers a whole lot of questions. There's an Opening Up website that you can check out too if you're interested in doing more research. It's openingup.net. So coincidentally, around the same time as I was having discussions about this film, and when I watched the film, I was like, there's kind of a, not a red flag, but there's just kind of something missing around the discussion in this film of the couple that's like, we want to try it, we meet this other hot couple, and then boom, we're kind of doing it. At the same time I was thinking about all this, I was having a conversation with fellow sex educator Thomas Roche, and a friend of mine who writes a column at Scientific American, Jesse Baring, wrote a really interesting article about, I mean, it was just coincidentally that it was all at the same time. He wrote this really interesting article about our modern grappling with polyamory, of course, coupled with scientific evolutionary theory about human nature and non-monogamy. I'll get to that in a second, but let me explain why I didn't rush to review Open Invitation and praise it until I had worked out exactly what I wanted to say for couples who want to take the leap from fantasy to reality with non-monogamy. Now, when you look or you listen to Open Source Sex number 20, where I give you my lecture, my tutorial, and my how-to on how to do it, I talk about how to do it, but I don't exactly give you all of the deeper, sort of more complex issues that it might bring up. So, like the many monogamous couples who fantasize about adding a partner, partners, or swapping, or more, the couple in the film and Open Invitation wanted to try it out. They did it bit by bit, but they didn't really have any problems. Now, if you try it at home, I can tell you that no matter how many times you read Opening Up, or an older book on the topic, which is popular in polyamory scenes, called The Ethical Slut by Dossie Easton, you'll most likely have an issue that you need to work out in your relationship before taking or making such a significant change. And that's life. Now, the people in the porn film are mostly porn stars and seasoned non-monogamites, as are the people who made it. And that's what makes the film authentic. However, here's what you don't know, or rather what's not shown. I can promise you that these awesome people in the film already have rules in place in their personal lives that clearly define the difference between sex for love and sex for sport or play, which is what's depicted in the film, and they have rules that define sex for love between the sex they have for work, which is also what we see in the film. Now, each couple and each performer have their own sets of rules or boundaries, and they can be general, such as, I don't have sex with men, I only do girl-girl sex outside my relationship, or I only do girl-girl scenes in porn. Or they have really specific rules, like I don't do anal with anyone except for my husband, or he can't come in anyone else's vagina but mine. And I'm not joking. These boundaries are real, and they're important, and I'll explain that in just a second. Now, the Scientific American article by Jesse Baring also talks about something that I think you might want to take in mind, which is that there's some gender roles that come into play when you want to put this into place. And he explains, while talking about, you know, there's a lot of theories being put forth right now that monogamy is not a natural state of being for humans. But there's something that kind of needs to be contextualized here. Jesse Baring writes, quote, "Beyond these philosophical problems with seeking out social prescriptions from a nature that is completely mute as to what we should do with our penises and vaginas, however, there's an even bigger hurdle to taking polyamory chic beyond the tabloids, talk shows, and message boards and into standard bedroom practice. And that is simply the fact that we're evolved to empathize with other people's suffering, including the suffering of the people we betray by putting our affable genitals to their evolved promiscuous use." He writes, "Heartbreak is every bit as much a psychological adaptation as is the compulsion to have sex with those other than our partners, and it throws a monster of a monkey wrench into the evolutionist's otherwise practical polyamory theories. It's indeed natural for people, especially men, to seek sexual variety. My partner once likened this to having the same old meal over and over again for years on end. Eventually you're going to get some serious cravings for a different dish. But I reminded him that people aren't the equivalent of a plate of spaghetti. Unfortunately, we have feelings. Unless you have the unfortunate luck of being coupled with a psychopath, or have the good fortune of being one yourself, broken hearts are not easily experienced at either end, nor are they easily mended by reason or waved off by all the evolutionary logic in the world. And because we're designed by nature to be not only moderately promiscuous, but also to become selfish when that natural promiscuity rears its head, again naturally, in our partners, reasonable people are far from immune to getting hurt by their partners' open and agreed-upon sex with other parties. Monogamy may not be natural, but neither is indifference to our partner's sex lives or tolerance for polyamory. In fact, for many people, especially those naively taking guidance from evolutionary theorists without thinking deeply enough about these issues, polyamory can lead to devastating effects. You can read more of this article on scientificamerican.com. It's called Polyamory Chic, Gay Jealousy, and the Evolution of a Broken Heart. And, mind you, all of the links that I'm talking about in this podcast are in the post that you can find at opensourcesex.org about this topic. Now, Open Invitation, the film, is sexy as hell, and it shows you how hot non-monogamy can be. But I think that no one who endorses non-monogamy wants to tell you that your mileage with swinging and non-monogamy will vary. Much of the time, one person wants it more than the other. The male-female dynamic is just different. And I generally don't get into gendered generalizations, but I'm going to put forth some generalizations that are seasoned opinions on straight men and women. In my experience, many straight men need a lot of encouragement to embrace non-monogamy because non-monogamy, for instance, the dude fantasy of off-the-hook male infidelity every weekend with a dozen hot sluts, is the naturally desired male mode of being. Now, you might disagree with me, but I think that when you start looking at what really rich dudes do, especially when they're young and rich, and trust me, I see a lot of it in the tech world, guys that get rich young and fast, and it happens a lot, I think, in the rap world, too. How they behave is really telling. I think that women would be like that, too, if we didn't have the oxytocin to rein us in. But to tell you the truth, based on the female-to-male transsexuals I know, I would seriously believe it. Anyway, the result is that most het guys who aren't inclined to be total jerk-ass liars to the women they want to actually be with, they ratchet down their desire to be alley cats from a pretty young age, believing that they will never find true love if they don't pretend that their player desires are not there. Then they meet a girl who's kind of cool with experimenting. Today's kind of girl, the kind of girl that would go to our porn ourselves, who watches porn, and who likely uses lots of sex toys for fun and enjoys sexual fantasy for her own sake. And so then the guys need to have non-monogamy sort of crowbarred out of them by the girls because they're afraid their girlfriends are really actually not okay with it, even though they're saying that they are. And they don't want to lose an amazing girl. Then most girlfriends who think that they're okay with it actually turn out not to be, and guys feel betrayed, as do the women, but that's for other reasons. So why okay with it and then suddenly not? Because the point I'm making here is that wanting to do something and then actually doing it are two very different things. You can tell yourself you'll feel one way, yet actually how you feel about it when you get there might not be what you wanted. We women tend to think that we're fine with non-monogamy and then not be okay with it. I've seen it and even experienced it many times. This is typical. This is average. And there's nothing wrong with it. The girls are not lying. We're not lying about the fact that we want to try it. It's just that our feelings cannot be predicted. Feelings in general can't be predicted, and they can't be decided beforehand. And if you feel different than what you told your lover, you shouldn't feel guilty about it. You found a boundary. Understand what that boundary is in your relationship and why it makes the difference. And honestly, sexual boundaries are necessary. Men tend to resent the idea of having their sex lives limited or controlled. Yet I'll offer that without boundaries in a relationship, you don't know the rules of love, the rules of your love, the love that you want with that person. And you can't have love without knowing what defines that love. Well, I'm definitely saying that an open invitation is a hot intro to making a fun change in your relationship. It's also a really great way to explore the idea without actually trying it if you're not sure you want to try it, and it's an excellent way to bring up the conversation if you're looking for a way to tell your partner that you might be interested in trying this without necessarily having to take the responsibility of saying, I need to do this. You can watch the film and go, what do you think of that? Just know that trying non-monogamy, or in this case swinging, for the first time might make you feel clueless about what's okay and what's not between you and your love and your relationship. And trust me, everyone who tries non-monogamy is clueless, usually repeatedly, and that women who try non-monogamy are usually way more unaware about how they will react, often more than we want to admit, partly because of underlying shit about the way that men and women interact in the first place, regardless of our orientation, regardless of our roles, and regardless of our relationship status. So if you're listening to this and you're remembering a painful non-monogamy failure, don't write off non-monogamy if it didn't work in this way and you're still interested in trying it. There were probably underlying issues that non-monogamy brought up. If it hadn't, something else would have, or things would have gotten slowly worse and disintegrated. A lot of what I have to say tonight, and a lot of what is in my post about an open invitation, came from an ongoing conversation I've been having with fellow sex educator friend of mine, Thomas Roche. You can find more about him, by the way, at skidroche or thomasroche.com. He finished our discussion with a quote, a comment really, that I want to quote about the currently available media, books, and information on swinging and non-monogamy, which I agree with wholeheartedly. He explained, quote, "I just really feel like the polyamory conversation is really dominated by people for whom constant relationship drama is a given. I don't accept that. Either that or the people doing this writing are lying about how smoothly it goes in their lives, which I think is even more likely, or just in denial about how much chaos they cause, which I think is absolutely guaranteed." And I think when Thomas talks about that chaos, it's not just the chaos that it can cause in your relationship, but even if you try a threesome, and this is something I talk about in my podcast number 20, is the chaos that it can cause for the third party that you bring into your relationship. Because they have feelings too, and questions, and it's not one-sided. So anyway, check out An Open Invitation. It's super hot, and I think you'll love it as much as I did. It's really, really dirty and fun and sweet, and there's a ton of hot sex in it. It's got a lot of things in porn that a lot of people really want to see, like real couples and tons of kissing and sex with clothes on and off and being ripped off. And Lorelai Lee stars in it, and she rules, and there's hot anal sex scenes that she does with her boyfriend. And honestly, I think that her scenes in this film are some of the best that she's ever done. She's really there. She's really feeling it. Plus, there was this one scene that I loved watching where she plays with another girl while both of their boyfriends are having sex with them. And it's perfect fantasy played out. There's great oral sex of all kinds, and there's an orgy finale in kink.com's upper floor, which is a really, really decadent mansion that's super decked out for sex. And it's kind of, if you can imagine, like, the most debauch tableau of people having sex all kinds of ways in just sort of rich splendor. It's sort of like Eyes Wide Shut, but like a positive version of it, a hot version of it, and a very explicit version of it. And that's the final scene. So this is the kind of porn that you'll never see out of the usual porn factories. And I think there's a reason that this film is going to trample all the other porn offerings this year. It's because it's more of what we want to see. And it focuses a lot on female pleasure. There's a ton of authentic female orgasms in it. And it's decadent. And most of all, what I love about it, really, is that it's a celebration of love. So, hooray for love. Thank you so much for listening to my rant about non-monogamy and polyamory and my endorsement, which I'm giving on An Open Invitation, directed by female director Ilana Rothman. Once again, if you want to check out the exclusive gallery that I got, it's on tinynibbles.com, and you can just type An Open Invitation into the search bar if it's not still on the front page. If you buy it from Babeland. If you want to check out the community that they're building, it's at privatelifestyle.com. If you want to keep up with me and keep following me, I am at violetblue on Twitter. I am at violetblue.org if you want to check me out online. And thanks for listening to Open Source Sex.